I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, specifically verse 16, is where we're going to be starting this morning. But before we dive into our passage this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come confessing afresh, specifically, Lord, in my own heart this morning, that the words I just sung are my only hope. All I have is Christ. He is my life. Lord, that doesn't just take place in moments out there. It's truth right here. That, Lord, if you by your grace had not broken in and displayed your full mercy and absolving through the work of your atonement the wrath that I deserved, I and those in this room who are yours would be a hopeless people. It is that same hope that displayed in the gospel for which I can come up here despite the fact that I have no ability in myself. I have nothing in my own power of intellect or will or strength to do anything of any lasting significance this morning. Why I pray again, Lord, please get me out of the way, and why I can be assured that you, Lord, will work because you are the one who's always working. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as we see this call to take up the shield of faith, would you help us this morning be reminded that our hope is never in our oh-so-fickle faith, but the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would have your will be done, that at the end of this time, maybe some for the first time, and as your children for so many times we desperately need to continue to see it. But Lord, I pray that we would leave here with greater trust, greater hope, and greater affection for our Lord, Savior, and treasure, Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. So thankful to the Lord to be back with you this morning to continue to walk through the various pieces of the armor of God that we have been examining. These are the elements of the battle attire for the believer as we war with Satan, sin, and self. So far, we began this examination by looking at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we looked at the belt of truth, followed by the breastplate of righteousness. And last week, we saw how we are to put on as shoes the readiness given, or the preparation, or the motivation of the gospel of peace. And as we saw last week, the gospel of peace motivates us to declare the glory of the kingdom of God and our better king against the kingdom of this world and all the false sources of peace it offers. But there's also a readiness to proclaim this gospel of peace to ourselves again and again in this war, to give solid traction and grip in our spiritual battle. I like how Dr. Sproul explains that truth when he states the following. The image, speaking of the shoes of the gospel of peace here, is of the Roman soldier's sturdy sandals, which gave him stability and protection in battle. Ironically, the peace that comes from the gospel readies one for war against evil. And again, all of this is because of the centerpiece of every element of the armor, Jesus Christ. He is the truth we gird around our waist. It is His righteousness alone that protects our often weary hearts as a breastplate. He, as the Prince of Peace, is our peace in all situations. Lord willing, next week we will see that our mind is protected as we keep vigilant to remember that all of our salvation is from, by, and for Jesus Christ. And the Word of Christ is all about the worth of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. This week's piece of the armor is no different. We are told to take up the shield of faith. But beloved, please don't hear that and think it is primarily a call to focus on your weak or your strong faith, but instead the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, which we will expound upon this morning. While we do hope that our faith will increase, the way the Lord does that is not by us inwardly navel-gazing, but by looking outward upon the assurance of our Lord Jesus Christ and His faithfulness in all situations. Let's read this in context. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians 6. Here, Paul writes, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Paul begins this phrase by saying the Greek phrase in passin, or translated in all, which is translated in all circumstances in this situation. This is so crucial because it is easy to trust the Lord or rest in faith when all seems well. But Paul reminds us, in all, take up the shield of faith. And he tells us what some of those circumstances will feel like. Look at the second half of verse 16. He says, "Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." In this war, there will be circumstances where blazing darts are hurled at us from every side. And sometimes these darts seem to come out of nowhere. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones asks about this when he says, "Do you know something of what it says here? Perhaps you wake up in the morning and find that before we have had time to do anything, thoughts come to us. Evil thoughts. Perhaps even blasphemous thoughts. You were not thinking. You were doing nothing. You had just awakened, but suddenly the darts reach you." That is an example of what the apostle means by the fiery darts of the evil one. But in battle, the question is, how does a shield extinguish? I can understand it saying block or protect, but Paul says that this shield extinguishes these flaming projectiles. Well, this goes back to the way the shield was used in battle in this time. One commentator explains that the Roman shield was large enough to cover the entire body. It was made of wood, covered in hide, and bound with iron at the top and the bottom. When dipped in water before a battle, it could extinguish fire arrows that had been dipped in pitch and set ablaze. So again, for us, the question is still, what is this shield and where does its strength to be enough to guard us in all circumstances come from? Well, as we've already seen, it is the shield of faith. But faith does not find strength in itself, but the object of that faith. To switch illustrations, some of you may have seen what I'm about to talk about in a different sense during this season when the Winter Olympics are on TV. But think of areas of our country where lakes are known to freeze over. Some of you may come from some of those areas. I would challenge you not to try it too much around here. But some of those areas where lakes freeze over and people enjoy be ice skating or playing hockey or just going out and just having fun on those frozen lakes. The strength of one's faith or trust or belief in the thickness of the ice doesn't matter. But the actual object of that faith, the thickness of the ice itself, is what's so crucial. If a person is on the side of the lake, petrified to walk out, it does nothing to tell them to do better. Hey, have more faith. No, instead, the only thing that will bring assurance in that moment and freedom to step onto the lake is being assured of the thickness of the frozen water under their feet. Beloved, the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, is as solid as they come with no chance of breaking. Beloved, being reminded of the strength and surety of Christ is where our shield power lies. This is exactly what Dr. Lloyd-Jones continues to point out in his commentary on the shield of faith when he says the following. I find his words helpful here. He says this, "But how does faith act as a shield? The answer is that faith never points to itself. It always points to its object. That is absolutely crucial. The cults produce people who have faith in faith. But if you put your faith in faith, you are eventually undone. There are people who try to work up faith, the quality of faith in themselves, but they will never succeed. We are not told to work up faith or to put our faith in faith. No, faith never points to itself. Faith never protects a man in and of itself. Faith always points to its object, and in that way it makes us strong. Faith never turns in upon itself. So you should not be looking at yourself and trying to cultivate faith in yourself. Faith always points to God, to the character of God. He is one on whom we can rely. Faith points to His promises. The Bible is full of them. Get to know them, and then you'll be able to hold up the shield of faith. The moment the enemy comes and the darts are flying round you, you will be able to hold up a statement of the Scripture, a promise of God, knowing that He is able, or excuse me, He's always true and faithful to His promises. He is unchangeable. Then, two, you must remember the power of God. When the enemy sends over his barrage of fiery darts and you feel very weak and frail and tempted to believe that they are bound to hit you and you will certainly be defeated, take up the shield of faith, hold it up. It points you straight to God and to the power of God. The shield of faith points you to the power of God, and the moment you are hidden behind it, all the fiery darts of the wicked one are quenched and come to nothing. They cannot touch you. And remember, His power is eternal, ultimate, and everlasting. He is the omnipotent God. But not only is God the Father on our side, our blessed Lord and Savior brings it to us still more definitely. His love for us in the past proves His interest in us now. Who can condemn, asks Paul. It is Christ that died for us, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us, Romans 8:33-34. So when the devil hurls these darts and doubts at you, hold up the shield of faith by saying, Christ has proved His love to me by dying for me and raising again. Then take this thought. He has been in the world Himself as a man. The Word was made flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was tempted by the devil. The devil hurled all his fiery darts and brought out all his reserves against him, but he defeated him completely and routed him finally. Remember, too, that he is now seated at the right hand of God with all power in his hand, and that he is there as our representative, that he is there to help us to fight all our battles and waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. When you are in the heat of battle, and when the fiery darts are coming from every direction, remind yourself then that because he came into this world, because the incarnation is true, because he suffered fighting against sin even unto blood, because he has been tempted like we are, He is fully able to sympathize with us when we are tempted. Have we not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we were without sin? Beloved, you are not left to yourself. He's with you. You are in Him, and He is watching over you and caring for you. He has given proof of His love by what He has done. He is continuing that proof by what He is still doing. The holding up of the shield of faith reminds you that you are looking to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It means that you are depending upon God and His grace in Jesus Christ. There are times when we are so hard-pressed that we can do nothing but call on the name of the Lord. We feel almost incapable of holding up the shield of faith, but we still do so by saying, I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. That is all you can say. You just desperately cry to Him, stay near, stay by, and He will. I need Thy presence every passing hour. What but Thy grace can foil the tempter's power? But grace can do so. My grace is sufficient for you. So we can say, I fear no foe with Thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave Thy victory? I triumph still if Thou abide with me. That is what it means to take up the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It is not trying to work up some kind of feeling called faith. Faith leads straight to the Almighty God, who is our Savior and who is a very present help in trouble. Let us therefore come with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Do that, and then none of these darts will ever find a lodging place in you and burn you or damage you. Hold up the shield of faith. Beloved, it is amazing that it is so often when we are at our weakest that the Lord uses the very hard circumstances we are facing to remind us where our faith, our hope, our trust, and our reliance ought to land. Paul expresses this in 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Do you see that our hope is unshaken, even as we experience the same sufferings? And what did these sufferings bring about? Look at verse 8 through the first part of verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. He just finished talking about suffering, but also comfort that God gives in those suffering. But he's not talking about that in some way to downplay the reality of his situation. He doesn't whitewash it and say, oh, it wasn't that big deal. God was with us and it wasn't really that painful or that much of a problem. No, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of how terrible this was. It was really, really bad. It hurt. It was a difficult season. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. How bad was it, Paul? For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. He said it felt so difficult, the burdens were so bad, the fiery arrows were hurled so much, it felt like death was at its door, that we were right before it. Why? Why did God let Paul and God's people come to a point of this type of suffering to where they were struggling so much? Again, Paul didn't do this to downplay the pain or feeling of weakness, even to the point of feeling like death was assured. But notice what those circumstances were brought into their world to bring about. Not a faith or reliance upon self, but only on God. Look at verse 9 through 10. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Beloved, can I plead with you in this war with Satan, sin, and self to rely not on yourselves or your faith, but rest your hope fully upon the object of your faith, Jesus Christ. His life, His substitutionary atoning death, and His glorious resurrection. Because He is a forever faithful shield. Listen to this same reminder from David, who knew a thing or two about battles. Listen to his assurance in Psalm 28, verse 7 through 9. Psalm 28, starting in verse 7 and going to the end of the psalm. Verse 7 of Psalm 28. Listen to this language. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to Him. The Lord is the strength of His people. He is the saving refuge of His anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Beloved, hear me, specifically based on that last verse. Our hope isn't ultimately in our ability to carry our shield. But our hope is more that our shield, our refuge, and our shepherd is and will forever carry us. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe some of you are still lost, and you cannot say with assurance that Christ is your refuge, your shepherd, and your shield. May I plead with you to repent and bake fully on Jesus Christ. Others here who are by God's grace believers in this war with all the flaming projectiles around you, may I afresh remind you of the sufficiency of your shield, Jesus Christ. May we be a people who exalt, exult in closing today. I've shared this before, but here in Psalm 28, it says, I'll just read it again. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults. And with my song, I give thanks to him. I've said this before. I'm a terrible speller. Awful. I can give the example. I've said it before. My wife was going to a Christian camp, and I told her I was praying for her. P-R-E-Y, like a stalker. Praying. And I always thought exalt was one word. Exalt. E-X-A-L-T. And I thought, oh, maybe I was wrong, and there's a U there, and you can spell it a different way, right? No, they're two separate things here. This verse is saying that God is not just the God that we sing and exalt, praise, give glory to, worship. Exalt with a U means that this object to which we are praising and giving glory to is also our source of greatest joy and delight. We exalt and exalt Him. Delight in Him. This morning, if you've heard me talk about the sufficiency and strength of our shield, the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, and that only moves you to praise without delight and love, you need to pause and ask the Lord to help you. Please don't let this news land at like, oh, I'll forever be taken care of and I'll really be okay. Let that stir not just your praise, but I think that praise will only be true praise if it's driven by love and delight. So we're about to sing a song. Not in us. Hear me. It is such a glorious good news and declaration to be able to praise God that all of our hope is in Him and to praise Him in such a way that we ask that our hearts would herald that reality out of affection for our object of faith, Jesus Christ the righteous. My hope this morning is in light of the fact that God, the Lord, is our strength and shield, we will be a people who exalt and exult in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come confessing that we are absolutely unable to take up the shield of faith if we ever think it is dealing with our own ability and our own strength and our own hope and our own mustering up of this thing of faith. Oh, Father, remind us afresh that you or why the shield of faith is strong, because of the object of our faith, not us and our ability, but Jesus Christ and His sufficiency. So Lord, even if there are moments in this battle that it feels like death is waiting around the next corner, would you use even those things to not rely on ourselves, but fully set our hope on God? Lord, would you be magnified in voice flowing from the heart this morning. And we ask it in the name of our sufficient Savior, Lord, and Shield, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.